Greetings, Grace family. I hope you're all safe and sound and doing well. Hey, if you haven't heard, every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and noon, we are gathering via Zoom for a time of prayer together, and we would love to have you join us when you can. It's been great to see the faces of our church family, and we would love to see yours there too. We provided the Zoom links for these meetings in the email or text you received this morning, as well as a link to our prayer guide, so you want to pick that up as well. Hope to see you there. Secondly, next week is the National Day of Prayer, and the churches of Orange County are joining together to turn that into an entire week of prayer. And the goal is for Orange County to offer God 24/7 prayer for the entire week, and we would love to have you be a part of that. So check out the details in the email you received. Well, if you've been tuning in to our midweek devotionals, you know we've been exploring the profound I am statements that Jesus made. And today we will be taking a look at the last of the I am statements of Christ recorded in the Gospel of John. And this one is in chapter 15, and I'll read for you verse 1 as well as verse 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I imagine most of you who are listening to this are familiar with this passage, but let's consider it afresh in its most basic sense. When Jesus says, I am the vine, what he's fundamentally saying is that he is the source of growth, the source of spiritual fruit in our lives. And when we think of what spiritual growth looks like, we need to think of growth in character and maturity. For example, in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a list of some character qualities when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Qualities like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the question is, how do these character qualities become a part of who we are? For example, how can we become an unselfish person or become courageous or develop true humility? What Jesus is saying is, I am the answer to that question. It's me. I am the source of those things. We can try to embody those things in our own strength. And there's certainly no shortage of books seeking to provide a set of techniques to accomplish that. But Jesus is offering a different way. Jesus' way is through us having a vital connection with him. You know, for many of us, as we seek to walk with God in our journey of faith, we look at our life and long for certain changes. We see these things that we struggle with, things that are maybe making us unhappy, or things that are making the people around us unhappy, things that might grieve the heart of God, and we just live with these things. And sometimes when something really motivates us, we'll try to be better. But finding real, lasting change is hard to come by. But Jesus says, listen, I am the one who created the heavens and the earth. There is nothing too hard for me. And I am committed to you. I am committed to your holiness and your purity and your peace. And the change that you're looking for needs to be my work within you. It needs to come from me to you, not from you to you. Do we believe this? And do we live as if it's true? A common mistake we can make is we put the cart before the horse and we overcomplicate things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're supposed to do as a Christian, right? And though there are things that we are called to do as Christians, that's not where Jesus starts. Where Jesus starts is with himself. He's saying, your first and primary order of business is to attend to me. You need to have a vital connection with me so that my life will flow through me to you. And when we bypass this and say to ourselves, I need to make this happen. I'm going to start helping people or serving the poor or go to Bible studies and prayer meetings. And oh yeah, I need to get a handle on that big obvious sin in my life. And we do all these things and we say we're doing it because we love Jesus. But is that really why we're doing it? A while back, I remember talking to a man who worked really hard at his job to be successful, and he was successful. He was really committed. He put in long hours. He made it a priority in his life. He made a lot of sacrifices. And I asked him who he was doing all this for. And he responded, "I'm doing it for my family and for my wife and kids. I'm doing it because I want to protect and provide for them. I'm doing all this because I love them." But truth be told, he was hardly ever with his family, present with them, listening to them, paying attention to them, sharing life with them. So when his family would hear him declare his love for them, it fell flat because the tangible evidences of his love for them, namely his relational connection with them, wasn't there. And we can do that with our relationship with God. We can get really busy doing all sorts of things for him, but we barely spend any time with him. To be a good Christian is not in our trying to live a good life for him. It's the giving of ourselves to him in utter relational dependence. To be a Christian is to come into the vine. Jesus is saying, "I want to become your reason for doing everything you do. I want to be your life." That's what he's saying when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." It's in our being connected to the vine of Jesus that will be the source for our spiritual life and growth. And one of the other things we need to remember in all this is that a good gardener tends to his garden. And going back to our passage, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Jesus' Father and our Heavenly Father is the gardener. And what does a good gardener do? A good gardener tends to pruning. You know, Tracy and I have a lot of roses in our yard, 40 to be exact, and honestly, tending to their proper care can feel daunting at times. And sometimes we neglect to prune them, and when we do, they get rangy and straggly, and the flowers aren't very pretty. They just don't look happy or healthy. But when we prune them back, and our pruning might even look severe for a time, but in time, they grow back stronger because our pruning has caused the branches to draw on the stem, like the vine. And as they draw life from the stem, they grow healthy and they bear beautiful roses. And that's what our divine gardener does. He tends his garden so that it becomes beautiful and fruit-bearing. May we be people who put first things first, seeking Jesus first, clinging to him, drawing our life from him, and along the way, joyfully receiving the loving pruning from our Father. That's our work. It's simple, really. Simple in its focus, and I love that. Yes, there's work to be done. There are things we want to see happen in our life, true change and spiritual growth and fruit bearing, but all those things are simply a byproduct of our connection with Jesus, his life flowing into ours. Let me end our time together by reading you a quote from Hudson Taylor, that great man of faith and missionary to China. He said this, "The branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine, and at the right time and in the right way is the right fruit found on it. So let us abide in the Lord Jesus." Lord, may our pure and simple devotion be for you. Help us to draw our life from you and none other, and may the fruit we bear be a blessing to others and bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name, our true vine. Amen.